a nice day out there, isn't it? I heard it's going to be like +4, +5 this week, which for December is amazing, isn't it? I will take that, living in the prairies any day. And you watch. When some of you guys go on holidays down south, that's when it's going to get cold down here. You guys are going to get so spoiled and get the warm here and then the warm down there, so that's good. Maybe I'll get some warm. So, as I said, we are doing our Christmas series, Journey to Bethlehem. And we're on week 2 of it. So what does that mean? Well, as I said earlier, we're going to walk through the life of Jesus a little bit and eventually getting to Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. And Christmas Eve morning, like I said, we're going to talk about the people that came to visit Jesus and what they brought and why they came. And then Christmas Eve night, we're going to talk about Jesus and the prophecy that led up to him coming. It's really going to be a good couple nights, so don't miss it. So taking lessons from Jesus is what we're going to talk about this week. What he did on earth. Who he was. So every Christian poses that question. And probably everybody on earth, I would think, poses that question that we discussed last week. Why did Jesus come to the earth? So when he was on trial for his life, Jesus spoke some words which gave us that answer. And he said in John 18:37, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And the word testify also can mean bear witness to the truth. So, there's this culture in our, or this idea in culture now, that truth doesn't just, there is no absolute truth. Culture tells us now that each person can have their own truth. Have we heard that? Whatever's right for you. Well, if Jesus came to testify to the truth, how can whatever is right with you, I'm not pointing at you. How can, I'm going to point down the aisle. How can whatever's right for, you know, everybody else be truth for them, yet we know what truth is because Jesus came to testify to the truth. Jesus is the truth. So there it can't be multiple truths. There is an absolute truth, right? Jesus is that truth. So these words were spoken at the end of his life. So yes, they're focused on his death and Christmas, though, because for this reason I was born. So for the reason that he was born is why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus came to testify to the truth. Really, it shouldn't be just Christmas and Easter we should be celebrating that he came to testify to the truth, but we should celebrate that he came to testify to the truth every single day of the year. Because that's pretty exciting that Jesus came to give us truth 365 days unless it's a leap year, and then it's 366 days a year. And what's the truth? The truth is, if you believe in Jesus and have a relationship with him, you're going to go to heaven. There's a lot of truths with Jesus. The truth is, when we go to heaven, we're going to live there for eternity with our Father. Christmas exists because Jesus came to testify to the truth. So there's some key points that we talked about last week, and I don't recall if I said them precisely or if I just implied them. So I'm going to tell you what they are. Want to know what they are? There's three of them. I can't make a three, my finger. There's three of them, not four. Three. I think I did that joke before, didn't I? I'm going to do it again, so get used to it. Christmas means that there is truth. The truth that everyone should believe, and that is Jesus Christ came to this earth to testify to the truth, and he is seated at the right hand of God. The other thing is that Christmas means that Jesus came to testify to the truth, and he is the key witness in that truth. Nothing else is the witness to that truth but Jesus. And the other thing I want you to remember from last week is, what comment did Pilate make before he went out to talk to the other Jews? His comment was, "What is truth?" And he washed his hands and he walked out into the praetorium. So don't be like Pilate when you hear the truth and say, "What is truth?" But believe, act in faith, live it out. So, this week we're going to talk about some things that Jesus did, who Jesus was. So when Jesus came to the earth, what did he do? Well, the first thing I would like to say that Jesus did is Jesus came in humility. Jesus came humbly. Humbly, where was he born? In a stable, in a manger, in Bethlehem. Not in the Besbro Hotel in Saskatoon. He wasn't born in the university hospital and Mary didn't get a private room. He was born in the stable. The stable smell really nice? No. It's a humble beginning, isn't it? It's a very humble beginning. And I want to read this scripture from Philippians. And it says, "You should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ had, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men." So by looking like us, by taking on human form, and by sharing in human nature, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a result, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Philippians 2:5-11. So Scripture describes the extent of Jesus' humility. And our attitude that we need to take on as people should be the same of that of Jesus. So we talked about Jesus' beginning. He came in a manger, right? Smelly manger. A smelly stable. Basically a barn. He died, was crucified, the worst death that you could have on a cross back then. It wasn't like they, hit him with a car, or they hung him, or anything like that. They hung him on a cross, which was for the worst offenders. It was the most vile way to kill someone. It's where you hung, or where you crucified, or where you killed the worst of the worst. And Jesus Christ, our King, took that on humbly for us. They could have given him other ways to die, but that was how they chose. So Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider that equality with God anything to be grasped. He didn't say, I'm the same as God, and look at those guys. They're kind of dumb down there. Look at what they keep doing. They keep sinning over and over again. They don't get it. Send the flood and, they don't get it. Nimrod starts witchcraft. Generation after Noah. They don't get it. We keep messing up as human beings. But Jesus did not take that he was with God, as anything to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking on this nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in our likeness. And he was obedient, even to death, that death on that cross. Do you understand the big deal there? Humility. We can say, I'm a humble person, We need to live it out in all that we do. You know, and you can have everything in the world, but if you're not a humble person, there's no sense. God blesses those who show humility. So the second thing, the second attitude, the second personality of Jesus that we can see is Jesus came to serve. I know a lot of people, and there's not many that I can, I got to think of the right word. There's not many that I can put on that type of pedestal of people that like to serve, or those that like to serve. I don't like to lift people up all that often, because sometimes we like to get big heads. But one of the people that I know that served a lot and served tirelessly for his church family was my former pastor in Lloydminster, and he was your former pastor, Pastor Lyle. That man served day in, day out. There was not a job that was too menial that he didn't mind doing, and a job that was too big. And when it was a big job, believe me, he wasn't the one wanting to take credit for it. And please don't think that I'm comparing Jesus to Pastor Lyle. But Pastor Lyle was that type of guy, and that's the type of person we all should strive to be. That person that doesn't matter the job, whether it's picking up the gum on the floor or, you know, vacuuming the carpet after movie night or just staying late and helping or changing light bulbs or doing any of that stuff. Those little jobs need to happen. And there are people that are willing to serve like that. And I think we need to remember to take that example of Jesus who came to serve. And in Matthew 20, 26 to 28, it says, "It must not be this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew 20, 26 to 28. You see, Jesus didn't just come to be served. We read earlier in that last scripture about how every knee will bow. That means they're coming to him, to Jesus, serving him, right? That's what that means. Because you don't bow to just anybody. You bow when you're serving somebody, honoring somebody. But Jesus didn't come for that. He came to serve. It wasn't the only reason he came. He wasn't just to be served, but he came to serve, giving his life for us. Jesus is the ultimate example of a man who desired to serve others. And we see people like that sometimes in our own church, sometimes wherever we go. And I'm sorry, Lyle and Elaine, but I'm going to point you two out for a second. Sorry, guys. I should have asked you. But Lyle and Elaine are two people that I can say that you look at, and it's like you guys are the type of people that aspire to serve. You love serving and helping others. And I use the example of vacuuming popcorn at 9:30 at night, because Lyle was doing that at 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock at night, after he just drove from Fort St. John. And we need more people like that. We need to be that type of person. And I don't like building people up like that, but I want to encourage you, thank you. And say thank you. You know, that doesn't go unnoticed, that type of stuff, by the church. And we appreciate that, and we love you guys for that. And for other reasons, not just that you vacuum. I need to carefully word that. But, and that's the same as Pastor Lyle. Pastor Lyle always was doing that type of thing. He didn't have a problem grabbing a vacuum and doing things. And you know what? We all need to have that desire to serve others. And it might not be vacuuming. It might just be picking up the phone call and saying, "How you doing? Can I pray for you? What's going on in your life?" Or, "Let's go grab a coffee. Come on over for coffee. I make the best brownies. Why don't you come over and have some brownies and ice cream with me? And let's just talk." And just being that encouraging voice. See, serving looks different. We all have different talents that we can serve with. Mary can sing. I told you guys before, I can't sing and clap my hands. I can't walk and chew gum. So, but Jesus is the example of this man who desired to serve others. He did the tasks that was generally left to the servants, like washing people's feet. In John 13:5, we read how Jesus served his disciples. It says, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel and wrapped around him. So is your life and your heart characterized by a servant's heart? Or are we the type of people that want to just be served? I hope we're the ones that have the servant's heart and want to serve others. And like I say, it can be as simple as having a piece of pie and ice cream with someone and just talking, using your gift, whatever that gift may be. Doesn't need to be breaking out a shovel or a tractor or whatever, unless that's what you feel called to do and want to do. So the next characteristic we see is that Jesus came to glorify God. Jesus never said that I want to be glorified for any other purpose than to glorify God. That was his end game, if you will. So we're going to read John 17:1-5, where it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he looked upward to heaven and said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you have given him authority over all humanity, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world was created. So Jesus said, the time has come. Glorify your Son. So glorify me. But not that I get the credit and the glory, but Father, so that you will get the credit and the glory. See, when we do stuff, when we serve stuff and do things, and I know like people like Lyle and Elaine and others here in the church, and if I named everybody, I could name everybody. Truthfully, guys, I could go through and say, you know, so-and-so for this. I'm not going to name any more names. But, you know, Dave for doing this, Ella for doing this. But we're not glorifying ourselves. We're here to glorify God. How do we do that? By serving, by loving, by encouraging, by doing things, by spending time in His Word so that we can be that voice to other people. That's how we glorify God. But we don't do things to glorify our own name. It's not for our glory and fame. There's that song, and now I'm going to be really bad because I can't remember the name of the song, but it talks about how everything we do is for His glory and fame. It's never about us. It's never about us. It's always about Him. It's always about Father. So everything we do should be done to glorify the Father. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whenever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And we read that last week during communion. Everything we do needs to be for the glory of God. That's why, if you remember, I said this two months ago, about when we sing here on Sundays. That's not our worship. And if somebody disagrees with me, you can kick me in the shins later. That is not our worship. Everything we do in life is our act of worship, because everything we do is glorifying God. So everything we do is our act of worship to God. This, we're singing praises to His name. And yes, this is a type of worship, but this is not worship. This is just one type of worship we do. When I shovel snow, I'm going to do it to the glory of God. So I want to get my sidewalks as clean as I can get them. And ask my kids, I'm very picky about my sidewalks. I want them so clean, drives them crazy. Ella's giving me the scowl. But everything we do, we want to do for the glory of God. So that means everything we do is an act of worship. Shoveling, vacuuming, driving down the street. We need to do it with excellence and to the glory of God. Everything is for God's glory. So the next attitude or characteristics of Jesus is what? Jesus prayed a lot, and he fasted. What a prayer life Jesus experienced. If you think back to when he was praying, he prayed so hard that he sweated blood. For us, he was in constant communion with his Father and often got up early in the morning to talk to God. I'm not an early morning person, but when I read that, I felt a little bit convicted that maybe I should get up a little earlier and spend some time with God in the morning. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." You know what Jesus did after he went and did this? He went out and ministered to people. He went out and prayed for people. He went out and cast out demons. He went out and healed people. So when I take the correlation between Jesus getting up early and praying and to what Jesus did afterwards, I take some correlation there and say maybe we need to spend some more time in prayer and maybe we can start seeing some victories in our life. Maybe we can start having some impact on people when we're praying for them. Maybe we can start seeing some healings. Maybe we can start seeing some faith-based things happening. If we spend time with Father and pray and hear his voice and actually listen to what he has to say. So do you enjoy constant fellowship with God? Do you like to wake up in the morning and spend time with Father? And if not, I encourage you, because Jesus did, and if we're trying to take on the attitude of Christ, if we're trying to follow in what Jesus did, like those old bracelets, what would Jesus do? Jesus would get up early in the morning and pray that God would direct his steps. So maybe we should spend some more time in prayer. And I'm not saying you don't. Don't take that way. But we can always spend more time. Next. Jesus came to be a sacrifice. We talked a bit about this last week with communion. So Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life so that we... Are we perfect beings? No. We are sinful beings, guys. We are made pure through Jesus' sacrifice. That's how we were made pure. That's how we're reconciled to God the Father. So he gave his life so that we can spend an eternity in heaven with Jesus and with God. He gave his life for us. He provided his life as the ultimate sacrifice. Did it cost us anything? It was nothing. It cost us nothing. So it was a free gift. All we have to do is believe, ask, and receive. That's all we have to do. It's a pretty easy gift to accept, isn't it? 1 John 2:1 and 2 says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and he himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the whole world." So it's not just for us that Jesus died. It's for everybody out there. And we need to remember that. You see, there's a slide that plays before church that "don't judge me just because my sins look different than yours." We're all sinful beings, I guess. I was going to say beasts, but that's a wrong word. We're all sinful beings. We're all sinful people. We all have some sort of hang-up or something going on in our life, don't we? We all have something. And it says he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The atoning sacrifice. That means because of Jesus, we're reconciled to God. That's pretty amazing. He came to be a sacrifice for us. When was the last time you sacrificed something for someone else? Or when you sacrifice someone else, even. See, we don't have to do it anymore. We don't have to. But now, what about when you think about that a little differently? I'm not talking about for your sins now. I'm just talking about when was the last time you sacrificed something for somebody? So, this is also, once again, not talking about animal sacrifices or people sacrifices. But when was the last time you gave something up for God or for a friend or a complete stranger that needed something? When was the last time you gave up something and to sacrifice just to serve or to love somebody? What if somebody needed something? Would you be willing to sacrifice something in your own life so they could have it? God wants us to sacrifice stuff. And more importantly than that, just sacrificing stuff for others, God wants us to sacrifice some things in our life for Him. Whether it be spending time watching TV, maybe it's that new car so we can, you know, give an offering to a missionary or something like that. Maybe it's giving up, I don't know, Sunday night football, giving up the NFL so you can spend time with Father or with some friends from church, spending time in the Word. Whatever that sacrifice looks like, when was the last time we did that? Maybe it's fasting. Maybe it's giving up Facebook. I don't know. I'm just throwing, it's the bad things happen when I just blabber stuff out because sometimes it doesn't make sense. So, the five characteristics that we talked about this week. So, Jesus came in humility. So, Jesus came and was humble. Second, Jesus came to serve. He was a servant. Jesus came to glorify God, was the third. The fourth, Jesus prayed. And the fifth, Jesus came to be a sacrifice. So what do you think? We've all sinned. We've established that. And we deserve God's judgment. But God the Father sent His only Son to satisfy that judgment, didn't He? So that we don't have to take that judgment on. It's a pretty exciting reason to celebrate Christmas. All we have to do is believe, ask, and receive. That's all we have to do. And live out these five characteristics. Or work towards it. I'm never saying that these things are going to happen overnight like that. That's another thing I can't do, a snap. It's not going to happen overnight. But as we spend time with Father praying, these characteristics start coming out in us just naturally. Because you are who you spend time with, aren't you? If you're spending time with Joe down at the bar, you're going to start acting like Joe down at the bar. But if we spend time with Jesus, who do we start acting more like? Jesus. And if I start spending more time with people like you that want to know Father, that's going to start becoming my characteristic too, because I'm going to start wanting to know Father more. If I start spending time with Jimmy, who doesn't want to believe stuff, or Nathan, that has faith that stuff's going to happen, what's going to happen? I would rather hang with Nathan that believes that in faith that things are going to change in my life than Joe that doesn't, or Jimmy, whoever I'm talking to, that doesn't believe anything and thinks that it's all a bunch of hogwash. I want us to believe and have faith that Jesus came for us, that he's guiding us, directing us, leading us, and has a good plan for us. He doesn't want us to have a garbage life. He doesn't want us to have this hard-up life where we don't have two nickels to scratch together. He wants us to have everything he has for us. Now, what does that look like? I don't know. Maybe you have two dimes to scratch together. I don't know what that looks like for you. He's going to give you what he has for you. You just need to believe and ask, receive, and get it. Because God has a good plan for us. I got way off track there. Jesus, the creator and eternal Son of God, who lived a selfless life, a sinless life, loved us so much that he died for our sins. He took on this punishment. And do you know who deserved that punishment? We did. We deserve that punishment. And he took it. And he was buried after he was crucified on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. And then what happened? He rose. Just like the prophecies talked about years earlier. He rose from the dead, defeating death. So that when we believe and ask and receive of him, that we know that we will have eternal life when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. We will have eternal life. That means that death does not hold us down. Death is not our end game. Our end game is eternity with Father. Isn't that a good thing? I'll tell you guys what. One of the biggest things I'm thankful for is not just the cross, but I'm thankful for Bethlehem. Because that's where it all began. It's because of Bethlehem that we have had the cross. And that we know that Jesus has us. And that he has a good plan for our lives. Each and every one of us. He has a good plan for us. Let's pray. And then we'll start the message. Just kidding. Just kidding. That was funny, wasn't it, Bob? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have a good plan for our lives. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to Bethlehem for us. Because you love us. And you knew over 2,000 years ago that we were going to be here sitting in Rosetown Community Church talking about you today. Father, thank you that you know every hair on our head. And Father, thank you that you know everything about us. And God, we thank you for lighting our steps and guiding our path and leading us to where you want us to go. And that is a good path and a good direction. Father, because it's with you. So God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. God, I pray that you would breathe some excitement and some life into us, Father, so that we can go out and share your good news. Father, allow us to live a good life so that we can strive towards you more each day. God, allow us time and opportunities to spend time with you and your Son, Jesus, so that we can become more like him. Father, because that's our end goal. God, we love you. We thank you. We serve you. Be with us this week. And give us opportunities to serve. God, give us opportunities to be humble. And give us opportunities to glorify your name. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all you do and who you are. And how good you are to us. Father, we thank you. Amen. Well, thanks for coming, guys. And we will see you guys next week. And if you're able to make it for the movie night, that would be great. 6:45. Be here so you can get a good snack and a good seat. See you guys.